Joey would not let me say every pony. I tried saying it like 7 times and Joey would not let me say hello every pony.
Hello everyone. We are on one. This is a very, very special episode, as they all are. But you made it here to Art and Labor. We are a podcast and we are dedicated to the ongoing struggle to survive as an art and or cultural worker. I'm Lucia Love and I'm a little bit less flustered than our other host here.
I'm okay, Fox. I'm fine. I'm fine.
I know you.
I'm very serious about saying every pony.
You believe that every pony should be welcomed, and I believe it too. And you know,
it's only a matter of time before we have our first brony elected representative. And
it's true.
We just got to be accepting of.
Like, there's a huge contingent of bronies in this country that need representation. There's also
only a matter of time.
It's only a matter of time. There's also a ton of other animal suits.
Yeah.
Out there. Furries across the spectrum. And they need conservative representatives and progressive.
Did you see that there was like a 19-year-old furry who developed like a cooling system for their fursuit, but then the military contracted them and is now using it?
Brilliant.
See, we need them in the Antifa super soldiers, not in the military.
It's true.
I do actually know a brony who is going to school for political science, and she might listen to this podcast.
Oh, my God. Well, shout out to her, whoever she is.
Yeah.
April.
Hey, April. April, thank you.
Shouts out, April.
April, you got to convert all of the bronies and all of the Pegas sisters and all of the non-binary pony pals that to just get off the military, pro-military stuff.
Well, either that or just infiltrate the military and turn them all into furries.
I could see it maybe happening, but I just don't know if it's possible to work within the U.S. Imperial War Machine.
There are already furries in the Army. We all know this.
Joey wrote a song called Furries in the Army.
I did not.
Oh, you didn't or you did?
Oh, wait. No, Joey changed.
The misinformation here.
No, Joey changed the lyrics to a song that our friend Sam wrote.
No, Chris did
that. Chris? Oh, my God.
Nobody knows what's going on.
Chris, who's an actual furry, did that, I believe. There's a song called Furries in the Army. Just look it up. I don't know.
Yeah.
You will not find it.
Esoteric start.
We're deleting all of that.
Oh my God, why? Joey, you're in on the podcast. It's nice.
Yeah, that's why I'm deleting.
Don't. You can't.
Oh my God.
This is so hard. It's so hard to get any work done around here. Honestly.
Here at Art and Labor HQ, we're always working really, really hard. And all of that was scripted, and Joey just wants to throw it away. I don't know why.
Well, we did have about 10 takes, and this is the best one we've got so far. So now Joey's ripping up checks. He's so mad. He, like, doesn't even want money.
That was the script.
Oh.
Oh my God.
It's supposed to be Foley.
Should we just turn this into a bonus episode or something?
You should do your actual thing that you came here to talk about.
Yeah, no, it's fine. We're fine.
Sing your song.
Oh yeah, I made up a song, everybody. It's pretty cool. There's a bunch of modulators and stuff on it, and it's going to be released in a couple weeks, maybe, as a song with instruments and stuff. But the whole thing goes... Butts.
Oh my God.
Doo doo butts. But. Doo 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 butts.
See, I feel like it wasn't off the rails and now it is off the rails.
Look, it's getting right back on the rails though, because these are the kind of mental aerobics you have to do when all of the rainforests are burning. Did you know? Okay, not only is the Amazon on fire, but there's also a huge fire sweeping across Siberia.
God.
And
why?
You can
How?
See both of these fires from space, but only the one in the Amazon is getting coverage right now because the Siberian one is old news. So this is the kind of landscape that we're dealing with. And for like 30 seconds of this recording, I'm just going to sing doo-doo butts for a minute and everybody can chill the fuck out.
It's true. It's true.
And you know what? Furries in the military, that's something else, you know? This is big news because it's real life, people. This is... Everything is as ridiculous as you were afraid it would be.
Well, I could tie this to... So, Right. So our last episode was about cringe, and I really thought that was a great episode. And like then immediately after, was it after that episode? People exploded about the fucking Proud Boys in Seattle.
Oh God! And, yeah.
Or Portland, and then like the Red Scare people were like, costumes at protests is LARPing, and don't pay attention to me who is went famous for being for in being a costume at a protest or whatever. It's just a bizarre.
It's really odd. Yeah, I can't figure it out. You know, honestly, I was trying to dissect the whole like defense mechanism that keeps Red Scare in on the field, and I was like, you know, most people are like, oh man, I know that that's like pretty problematic. You know, they keep going like, and attacking people for being trans. They attack people for trying to be sensitive to each other's needs in general. And like, they don't, you know, they attack people for calling out ableism. They just generally don't think that we should be considering anyone outside of like the general like definition of able-bodied worker, like union crusty. Like,
which is a manufactured identity politic.
Yeah, exactly. It's just another note on the scale. But like, I just thought it was weird that everyone was going like, oh well, yeah, I know it's like pretty problematic, but they got really good takes on modern art. Which I'm like, modern art, I don't know, like why would, like modern art is old.
First off, modern art is the old one.
Yeah, modern art. It's like, so you're not learning anything. This isn't like, we're not talking about art that's going on. It's just like, oh, well, Janssen's history book was really good, you know?
Art like, since 1945.
It's just wait, that, like, there were only men back then, and that's, you know, that's just the truth. And
yeah, that goes to show, actually, that, like, how much they are reified by a Western chauvinist ideology. If, like, if the takeaway is they have good takes about modern art, it's like...
Yeah,
okay, so the art that, like, a lot of contemporary artists are, like, being like, wait, this canon is bullshit, and we're trying to reintegrate it and redefine...
And also, like, make art from the perspectives of all of these identities that are not valid...
Yeah.
To like have a discussion about for some reason. Like, it's like, oh, of course you would have to go back to modern art to get some kind of like grand narrative about like, you know, I don't know, the bravado that it took to make like splooge paintings.
Yeah, I could really tell that the artist was thinking about how he was getting drunk and jizzing.
Yeah. Oh, God, I love erectile dysfunction, just, like, as an impetus for making work. Also, I love, like, stealing from wives.
Love it. Must love muse culture.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Well, see, this is, like, it's, like, important to overlook, you know what I mean? It's, like, stealing from wives is the one victimless crime.
Oh, yeah, because they're not people. They're just, like, an extension of the man in the relationship.
Yeah, exactly. So if they come up with anything, then it's actually just your property to begin with. I mean, especially, like, they don't have their own credit lines. And, you know, they basically should be paying for their, like, keep.
Yeah, it's, you know, and it, you know, I don't know. It's like we were saying, I really liked our take on Bernie Sanders, right? Because my family or people who are sort of liberal in my life will be like, well, why do you support the old white guy candidate? And it's like, well, I recognize that there was a time when like only white dudes could have more progressive or radical politics and get into the institution, like sneak into the institution, basically. You can't also be a woman or also be black, or else you would just get murdered.
It would be too strange to like advocate for your own needs. It's like, it's really gauche to do that if you're anything other than a white man.
So. Yeah, and it's like, I don't even agree with the institution existing in the first place. Like, if you want my real politics, it's that the whole thing structurally is totally bankrupt morally and needs to just, like, totally go, and the U.S. imperial state needs to totally go. I don't want to preserve it at all, really. But if we're talking, like, a harm reduction and a way to get to, essential things like Medicaid for all and, like, housing for all, then we need somebody who's as left as possible and has been that way and can, like, win on a record of doing that for decades.
Oh, yeah. Well, at this point, I am seeing the argument for the whole spectrum just, like, kind of crashing so far into the right, left in this country.
Yeah.
And it's just kind of like, well, I guess that we should probably consider some kind of concessions here. Like, we got to regroup and, think about whether or not we're going to be able to, like, support any leftist tendencies whatsoever, or if we're going to be, like, labeled domestic terrorists or something. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's like, yeah, I mean, great. Yeah, I love it. The idea, like, maybe we'll just get rid of the government and borders, and we'll just all kumbaya everywhere, and, like, it's gonna be dope when that happens. But right now we're nowhere near that.
Everyone's just like, how do we not become Brazil? But it's like, we also installed Brazil's government.
Yeah, basically. We are Brazil.
And, like, it's like, where it's only a matter of time before it's like, we are doing the same thing. It's just, like, not necessarily within the United States borders. It's like, we're starting fires and fucking up the environment all over the place.
Well, what about how, you know, California was just on fire?
It's true.
That's a totally unnatural environment that was, you know, kept afloat by capital and just succumbing to disaster as a result.
Yeah. And then, like, all of the, like, rich Hollywood people, like, were like, I need to water my lawn.
Yeah.
Remember that?
Yeah. It's all connected, folks. It's all connected. We're just scraping the bottom right now. But we're lining up some more guests. You know, we're figuring out what to do and how to bring everybody some quality content. Today is kind of like a little slow, a little bit of a... We're kind of like reeling again with the vertigo of so many traumatic experiences hitting us one after the other.
Yeah, what can you do?
We're just trying to, like, also take care of our immediate communities and, every once in a while, like, maybe see a crappy movie or something.
Oh, well, I feel like, I feel like I was on a roll with this because I did want to parlay some of what we were talking about into our experience going to PS1.
Oh, God, yeah.
And the definition of a museum.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
And so we tried to go to
start it off with the coffee story?
Oh, God, that's such a weird story. Yeah, yeah, tell it.
Well, because it's like, okay, so if you want to hear about actually going to the museum, because you didn't go.
No, I didn't go. No, that's true. It's your story.
Okay, yeah. So we were going to meet there.
Yeah.
And I was with my partner.
Wow.
I have a partner, guys.
Wow.
Yeah, so we're there. We're in line. And there's, the pump-you-up DJ jams going on in the dome at PS1. And you can hear it from the streets. And everybody's all, like, psyched to dance and stuff. But it's like 3 o'clock in the afternoon and we're just trying to go to see our friend's show. And, we get in line and there's like the metal detectors, there's like checking all the bags and there's all these guards and, my partner and I were drinking coffee going in and the guards are like, yeah, you can't. you can't drink that coffee. You gotta finish it. I'm like, oh, I can't. Can I just put it down? And they're like, well, actually, you know, you're gonna waste $3 if you don't drink that coffee. So you've got to drink the coffee.
It's just so bizarre.
So they're like waving me down with like a metal detector, and then they're like rifling through all my tampons, and then they're like, okay, now chug the coffee. And then all of these guards got around in a circle and they just went chug, 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 chug. So I'm just like, oh, fuck you. And I chug the coffee in a circle of guards who were dressed like mall cops. And yeah, and then they make Chris like empty out all of his pockets, and then he had like a wine opener, because he's a bartender.
Mm.
And it's just like, oh no, I just like, I have that for work. And they're like, oh really? Oh really? And it's like the whole thing was just so unnecessarily aggro, but then also like they're trying to have fun with us or something. And then we get to the front desk and the museum people are like, oh, actually the place is, you can't see art. You can't see art today.
It's like three.
Yeah, it's 3 o'clock on a Saturday afternoon. And they're like, you can't see the art in the museum. You can only go to the DJ party. And like the DJ party costs this much money. So you can't like avoid the fees if you want to pass this threshold. You have to pay the DJ money and you have to go and dance because this is MoMA PS1.
Which is like weird because I feel like I do remember a time when like it wore like, you could still go to the museum during museum hours, and just like the warm-up area was like cordoned off or something. Am I crazy? I feel like it used to be like that.
Well, because there is doors like literally to the museum, yeah. And you could just, I feel like you should have been able to go to a totally separate experience.
It's a big building.
Yeah, and like none of the dance party is inside of the building.
It seems like the two should be able to coexist.
Yeah. And they were like, oh, sorry, we closed it because the art is, like, delicate. Like, well, I'm not going to dance around it. I just want to look at it like a regular museum experience because you guys are a museum. Like, come on.
Not on Saturdays in the summer. We're a venue. We're a music venue in the summer. Yeah. On Saturdays. Whoops. So that was your problem.
After that, yeah, I ended up raging for a minute. We went to the diner.
Oh yeah, because I was like on the 7 train, but the 7 train wasn't running.
Yeah,
I was just like sitting on a 7 train that went to Grand Central and then didn't go to Queens. So then I was like, well, so I was like a half an hour late at least.
Yeah, but then you met us at the Court Square Diner.
Yeah,
and it was insane because so we were going from PS1 to the Court Square Diner. And I was like, what is this? Blah, 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 blah. And then we get to the diner and I was like, you know what? Goddamn advertisements for gentrification. And we look at the menus and there's pictures of PS1 on the diner menus now. And it was like, is everyone just trying to sell
the whole city neighborhood? It's become the neighborhood identity. So much so that they had to erase the old neighborhood identity, which was 5 points.
Right.
And turn that into a condo literally called The Gallery.
Oh, God, yeah. I feel like that was such a like a latent victory for the landlords of the city. Like, they all have a nefarious underground network where they're like, ha-ha, we really put a nail in the coffin with this one.
Oh, my God. Dude, all the developers have some sort of like Jeffrey Epstein guy that they all like hang out with and like hooks them up, and yeah, they must have like all the big time developers like must have some sort of cabal.
Totally. Oh my God.
Fuck those guys. Like, man, and it's just like, it just feels so bleak whenever it's just like everyone's like, yeah, Hudson Yards is terrible. Let's write 20 things about why Hudson Yards is terrible after it's developed or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
Or let's write like 20 things about 5 points after it's been demolished. And it's just like, I don't know how to get to folks. I don't know how to get to folks and be like, well, there's like, they're trying to develop a Hudson Yards 2 in Sunset Park. Right?
Oh, well, Industry City. Like, yeah. Oh, hold on. We've got a transmission coming in from Joey.
Oh.
Joey says, in college, I went to a free Andrew W.K. show in the oldest art museum in America, where there was a mosh pit in front of those Trumbulls on like the back of dollar bills. So fuck that. All right, so fair nothing, enough.
No, so
music happens in museums, and I should just cool my jets. I get it.
I don't know if that's what you were trying to say. Were you trying to say fuck that the art was delicate or something?
Oh yeah. Oh okay. Yeah. I wasn't sure. I'm ready to be wrong, I guess. And like, you know what? I have feelings, but they're definitely not facts. So we were at the museum.
Yeah.
Or I was at the museum.
Yeah, I wasn't. I didn't
you met it. Us at the court diner thing, and Joey hipped us to the fact that it is fine to dance around while there's art on the premises.
It really
it has happened before.
Honestly, it's bad fucking curation, because it's like, if you know you're going to have a fucking summer show when they do the fucking music shit, then curate the summer show so you can have it in tandem with the music shit.
Well, yeah, honestly, the way that they set up the institution and the way that they're scheduling their programs is just, like, so evident that they don't believe that their museum-going public will appreciate the art as much as they will the DJs. And it's just like, oh, well, what do people really care about? Oh, they care about getting high and just, like, fucking knocking around people they don't know. And, like... before I go too far into sounding like I don't enjoy, you know, dropping some little pill doodahs into my face hole and then like waving around like I just don't care. Like, I'll do that. I'll do it all night. I'll do it until the sun comes up. I don't give a fuck. But yeah. I also go to museums so that I can see art. Yeah. I just do that.
I'm gonna be an old fogey too and say that when I was in high school, I loved going to Long Island City. I would stop in it. I'd get a fucking Dunkin' Donuts coffee. I'd go to the fucking Five Points and just hang out and meet people. And, like have fun, take pictures.
There you go.
And then I would pay $2 to go to MoMA PS1.
Yeah.
And see the weirdo contemporary art.
Yeah.
And look at their bookstore. Like,
that was what it was all about.
Like, it was very fun, and it was $2.
Yeah. I admittedly don't pay them to go because I just get by on my credentials.
Yeah, well, you can make shit up and get in, and that's fine. Like, and everyone should do that.
Yeah. But, you know, so I don't have an experience of paying them any dollars, but I do have an experience of going there all the time for... over a decade.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's like, I don't know.
Well, it's just, okay, so this is worth, I guess, dovetailing with the whole, like, experiential art push that everybody is transferring their programs into, like, melding with.
The Shed.
Yeah, everything is just becoming, like, it's gotta be lights, it's gotta have sounds, and then people take selfies, and you are expected to spend around $30 to $50, and that's like, that's what you are gonna, you know, be worth to everyone. So they're like, how do we give you this much entertainment? And then it always ends up being the same thing. It's like, you just go to a big show, and then they turn the lights off, and they make some sounds, and then you buy some alcohol, and it's just like, whoops, now nothing else is art. Like, I mean, it's annoying if you like anything besides that, but...
I mean, it's also, it's just an obliteration of culture in general, because, like, of where we are in... capitalism, there's not room for things like the library. There's not room for things that are like contemplative, cheap, or public spaces. Like, people need their fixes in big bursts because, like, they don't have the time and they don't have, like, yeah, they mostly the time, but, you know, also the money because it's, like, gotten so much more expensive to go to the museum. But so then people are just, they just want to connect and, like, have fun and do it all in this big burst and like
yeah, but this has been like a development for a while, right? Because we were seeing like all of those articles that are like, you know, published by Artsy, and they're like, oh, is the museum selfie an affront to the art world? People's experiences of culture are being mediated by their devices. I'm not sure if this is going to lend to a proper education around the history of art that we've come to cherish through this institution.
No, I'm not saying that, like, interfacing with your, like, social media while you're at the museum is bad. I think I'm more talking about, like...
No, I think, well, it's yeah. just, like, that was the start of it.
Yeah.
And then if you track the articles that started, like, to, you know, just proliferate from this base of realizing, like, oh, people have technology, and that means, like, they're more obsessed with their technology than they are with the like, objects of art that you have in the institution. So then they're like, how do we scrap the objects and then just make the technology more of a part of the exhibit, right? So they're right. just like, first they're like, oh my God, I'm afraid. People are taking selfies with paintings. Oh, what the hell? And now they're like, what if we just have a place where people can take selfies and we just say fuck all to whatever everyone was trying to connect with in the first place? And then everybody is just like excited that they have something to go to. And then they're like, oh, well, okay, I guess this is art now. And then they're like, oh, well, cool, I'm dancing. I took a picture of me doing that. And the only thing that matters to the people who have the institution is that you show up at the place. Just show up, just give us money, and you can like party here and it's gonna be great. Nobody's like, oh, well, maybe, you know, maybe we should just let people take pictures of stuff with their phones and stop freaking out, like, that they're not, like, audiences aren't being stimulated enough to warrant the cost of a ticket.
Boom. Hit a bit of a snag for a second there, because I'm just having a hard time compartmentalizing what I want out of, like, one, an institution, two, a music venue, three, a combination museum and music venue, or, like, you know.
Oh, yeah. Sometimes I get so upset about delineating my public spaces that I just, like, I fall deep into a conniption, and I'm just, like, it's like I'm just seizing up, and I bite my own tongue sometimes really, really hard. And yeah, and then it's awkward because people are like, what's the matter? Why aren't you talking? I try to open my mouth and blood comes out. It sucks.
It's, yeah, I mean, it's weird because, like, then, like, so there's this, like, prevalent, like, neoliberal attitude that's like, you can't take Amazon out of the, you know, like, for me, I'm thinking about the zine fair. Because, like, this is, like, happening right now. There's a debate about SPX taking Amazon money.
Oh, of course. Ongoing. Also, check out the backlogs.
Yeah, we covered this last year, and it's coming around again, and it's, like, yeah. ramping up.
Well, of course. I mean, Amazon is also taking over every industry that it possibly right. can. And I can't wait for Amazon food.
Oh, my God.
Honestly.
And, well, and so the argument here is, by the way, oh, my God, sidetrack, Prime gives a discount to Medicaid and food stamp holders.
Yeah.
So it's like these evil private corporations are becoming so embedded into everyday necessity that it becomes like these convoluted arguments about like who's privileged enough to access the library. Like, there was just this terrible Twitter thread, this artist I like, Julia Grofer, who's You've probably seen her work. She's really, she gets around all the time.
Yeah, I see her on Twitter.
But she had like a thread about zines, and she was just like, people should be making zines because it's like outside.
Yeah,
of
and then there was like a whole Twitter thing about everybody's like freaking out. Everyone's like, oh my god, the accessibility of zines. Ah, are they accessible or have they? Have they become too much? It was all I could do not to tweet, like, a folded up piece of paper murdered my family.
Yeah. You should have.
I wanted to so bad. I couldn't bring myself to do it.
I really want to get Julie on the show to talk about that. But, like, all of that to say, like, people treat art museums in a similar way. It's like, oh, this is just such a privileged conversation to even have what the purpose of the museum is, because like people just don't have access to them at all. And it's just like, okay, like, so what? So we just accept the status quo? Like, what is the argument here? I've lost, you know.
Yeah. Well, no, definitely. I can relate to coming up against that argument, because a lot of people will sit down and go like, well, you know what, like, I just don't even understand art. I don't even understand what this whole entire complex is built up around art. And like, oh, you had to like be born inside of a paint tube to get it. And it's like, no, like, how come nobody told you that all the experience of art amounts to is walking around and deciding that you like something? It's just about you liking a thing, gravitating towards a thing, finding out more about a thing, whatever it is. It could be a song, but it could be a painting, it could be a sculpture, it could be some weird, like, ineffable mixed media experience. But I don't think you need any gatekeepers at all, actually, to have an immediate response to some stimuli that other people have created and like put out into culture for you, just to like,
yeah. And if you get like external pressures from people being like, you don't really get it, you just fucking brush it off. Who cares what they say?
No, it's the same thing. It's like people who won't let you like a band because you didn't go to like every one of their live shows or something. And it's like, oh, whatever. I don't know. Like, I'm gonna just like what I like. I don't care if it's cringe,
just like,
yo.
Do it anyway. Like, it's like, I don't know. Like, and
you're gonna get mad at you guys. Why don't you just like the art and just shut up?
Just like, or like, make your own and like shut up, or like, or don't like it and shut up, and like, you know, like, who cares? Like,
no,
who cares?
Totally. But that's definitely the demographic of people that like the, like, PS1 warm-ups is catering to. It's all like, it's like institutions have this thing set up in their head where they're like, oh my god, people don't know what they're supposed to like, so we have to like stoop to their mass appeal artifacts that like, of course, the people, they're rabble, and we have to close the museum down so they don't break everything, but then you can have your own little like raucous experience in a dome where there's no corners to get stuck in and everybody can just writhe around, and that's what the masses want. It's like, oh, cool. No, of course, because we came to this place to see the things that you supposedly put on view. Just offer us something that's the complete opposite. No viewing and lots of listening. Of course.
And it's what, and also it's like, you know, Saturday is like, you know, people, like a lot of people's only day off.
Yeah.
And if you're going to do it at 3,
mm-hmm,
and shut down the museum at 3, I get doing it like after like hours are over. Like,
yeah.
You know,
oh, to be fair, whatever. I think there was some of the museum open. I think you could like, you just can't walk around in a bunch of the exhibits.
Okay, so that's, well, then I already made that point too. Well, why are you curating something during warm up time that can't be seen?
Yeah,
I think
exactly.
That's bad curation.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. There's something weird going on with the way that people are presenting our possibilities back to us. And like,
I don't know. And honestly, we brought up that these anecdotes about PS1 and shit because like for one thing, yeah, I wanted to say, like, when I was a teenager, I fucking loved it. I thought it was so fun that it was in an old school, that it was, like, being repurposed in this way, and that it was, like, cheap and chill and stuff, and, like, in this interesting neighborhood. And that's what I really genuinely got a lot out of it. Like, I got so much out of it going there when I was a teenager. And
And it was a cool idea to begin with. Like, Alana Heiss, who was running the Clock Tower Gallery that was down in the Financial District. It was, like, kind of a hub for all of these conceptual artists in the 70s. Like, you know, they did a lot of insane stuff, like Dennis Oppenheimer or whatever took, like, a dead wolf and, like, threw it on top of a piano and then, like, made an ode to it. And that was, like, art. And it were just all up in this, like, weird abandoned clock tower. And then, you know, that was allowed. And that was, it was, you know, like, just imagining the safety regulations that you would need at this point to do anything at all. And, like, how many people would freak out if you had, I mean, you know, any elements of that, like, oh no, wait, oh, this is too much.
Well, now it's like sanitized. It's like more in the net of sanitation. Like, you know, Manhattan becomes all sanitized and nobody who is, like, living that sort of lifestyle of, like, experimentation and, like we've talked about this a lot before on the show, but, like, you know, like, there's less and less average people who are able to live in Manhattan anymore. And so Long Island City is like, the closest to Manhattan, and so it's happening there, and it's just going to keep getting pushed farther and farther and farther.
Oh, totally. Yeah, the blight. I like to call it...
it's funny because that's, like, the opposite terms. Like, the developers refer to blight as, like, windows. Yeah,
exactly. Oh, wait, there's a lot of people living in these projects. Yeah. What a blight.
What a blight to see humans exist in the fucking streets and shit.
Yeah.
Well, fuck off.
Oh, disgusting. People are out past dark here. yeah.
But yeah, I mean, to bring up the reason we were bringing up these anecdotes about, like, what is a museum is because what the definition of a museum is being debated now.
Yeah, it's changing all the time, folks.
Yeah, it's, and it turns out there's an international order of museums that are
they're in charge of it and
figuring it out. I don't know.
Yeah.
What are they doing?
It's like the...
Do they get paid? Who pays them?
Well...
Are they appointed
they
or elected?
They have a really nice website. and they... I think they probably appoint themselves, honestly.
Right? Because then there was, like, that whole thing. They were taking public submissions and they got, like, hundreds of submissions and they just, like, did it internally anyway, I was reading.
Yeah.
I was like, what is happening?
Well, okay, you're going to have to... rewind for the audience there. So we're talking about an article, or actually a story that came out in a number of outlets, but I found it in Hyperallergic, and I think, okay, you said you found this same story in, like, Art News?
Yeah, one of them.
But the title that I pulled up was A New Definition of Museum Sparks International Debate. So... the lead into this is the International Council of Museums will vote on a new definition of museums in September. The proposed change includes language about social justice, global equality, and planetary well-being. Critics say the text is too political for most museums to employ. So, yeah, it says that this International Council has been in existence for about 50 years. And it's defined a museum as a nonprofit institution that acquires, conserves, researches, communicates, and exhibits the tangible and intangible heritage of humanity and its environment for the purposes of education, study, and enjoyment. And they want to add another piece onto this, which is that the definition would include human dignity and social justice. So this new proposal is being contested now. There, I guess in this community, there are 20,000 museums, and they all have different ideological lines, and they're all arguing about what this means to them.
I mean, it's interesting. I mean, I feel like the original definition, a lot of these museums weren't following to begin with. So it's like, like, it's like, what's, how much sway does it actually have, you know?
Yeah, I think, well, it's, yeah, it's, it seems complicated to me because I think, you know, the heritage of humanity is such a broad concept, and it's just making me think of all the museums, like the Holocaust Museum, or like, you know, museums dedicated to like slavery and stuff that's just really raw material for people to experience, and that humanity doesn't necessarily mean that it's going to be like the most exalted and wondrous aspects of our creation, but that we will be able to exhibit a clear understanding of a spectrum of behaviors, and like that there are you know, there are different political affiliations backing all kinds of creative endeavors, and like, right. There's going to be conservatives who have their own concept of art that just,
they,
like,
they have their own museums, and they probably aren't part of this order or whatever.
Yeah. Well, they, I mean, clearly they are, because those are the people who are finding, taking umbrage.
Well, yeah. That's the thing.
These dang conservatives, they don't like their social justice.
Oh, it's, yeah, I mean, it's weird because, yeah, this happened in the 60s too with, when MoMA was invented, established, when MoMA was established, right, they had these same ideological discussions, and so the people who are against it are saying like it's too political or too ideological, but it's like, it's that same frustration I always have with that argument. As like, well, what it is right now is also ideological, and like, you know,
yeah.
So it's like, the point is maybe we should take more responsibility for ourselves.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, and so maybe it affects you personally more, like, or like maybe you feel like, or with the museum, it'll affect them, the museum that you work for, more or something.
Yeah.
So just say that.
Well, that's like like a really interesting argument to bring up, because it mirrors the quotes that I found for that piece about like the NEA and philanthropy.
Oh, right.
Yeah. That Newt Gingrich was saying, and one of his one of his hard lines that he's been espousing since he started attacking the concept of funding art in the 90s. It was like 93, 94. Got into a bunch of arguments about like the messaging in the art that is represented by our government and funded by the NEA. He's gone on in, you know, later decades to say that it's unacceptable for any like national funding to go to art that only supports one party.
Right.
And his whole thing is just like obviously coming from a conservative standpoint, but he specifically singles out like, you know, these performances that are like not for Republicans. It's like this night not for Republicans. Like, and he's like, well God damn it, you know, like why is the nation funding a night that specifically says it's not for voters who have these affiliations? Which I'm like, Fair point. I don't like him. I think, you know, obviously, right. I think that like having a dyke night that's not for Republicans is totally cool, and I would go to that instead of whatever he would want to concoct. But like, it is alienating.
I think it's fine to alienate audiences. I don't think that in itself is a bad thing, but.
The issue is the funding.
Well, the issue is the funding, and then the issue is also like specifically saying a political party, right? If you just said like, no fucking TERFs or whatever, like, or like no fucking transphobes. Like, just say that. Or, like, I don't know.
Oh, totally.
Like, you know,
but then
no transphobia
also,
or whatever.
There's also people who are like, well, I'm afraid. And, you know, I just don't think that people should be like that because they don't love the Bible. And then it's like, all right, well... Got well, me there. There's always going to be an issue.
Well, then it's, yeah, yeah, it's always going to be an issue. And it doesn't, it yeah, it's too many. It honestly, it reminds me of the librarians often have this debate of like, for example, like public computers, right? So people without access to computers go to the library to look at pornography.
Totally.
And jerk off. And it's like, so most librarians have come to the conclusion of like, yeah, that's part of, we're not going to censor any part of the internet. So it's just part of what we do at our job.
Yeah.
Is this.
Well, it's also just because all of the places where people used to be able to jerk off have been shut down.
Right.
Which is honestly supposed, it should be separate. Like there should... It's true, man. Yeah. I mean, God, go like, any, go to another... country that's somewhat developed and then like walk around and you can go into a booth that plays a bunch of porn and it's like a weird little vacuum form like you know plastic pod that you get in and you can like click your pick for whatever fucking video you want to see and then some porn plays and there's like tissues and like sanitizer in there and you can just lock yourself in and keep like sticking euros into this machine until you're bored and like it doesn't matter.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's, I mean, this is what the fucking politicians get for sanitizing Times Square and shit, right?
Like, yeah, exactly. I mean, it's like, oh, cool, now you've, like, made a issue for our public spaces, and, like, thanks. And it definitely relates back to what a museum is for, too. I was like, because right. You should be able to jerk off there. No.
Yeah, on, yeah, we're like radical libertarians now. We're just like...
Yeah. Hey, listen, if I want to bring my 5-year-old girlfriend to a museum and, you know, if I get excited about it, then...
Jeffrey, no. The fucking...
Oh,
but
God.
Then, you know, so the library, it's still segmented, right? Like, it's like, it's... The internet is not censored,
right.
But there's still a children's section and an adult section.
Yeah.
So at the very least, like, there are ways to present the information that is a little more...
Oh my God.
Conducive.
Honestly, just put a computer in the broom closet then, I guess.
I think there are some libraries that just literally do have, like, private computer rooms.
Jeez.
Like, that's what it's for.
That's, you, yeah, there you go. I don't know what to think. Now that just got me down.
It's like, well, that's, you know, we just need more. We need more public spaces. We need rent to be way cheaper in general so that we could have more porno theaters.
Yeah. Well, I just think it's bizarre that these reshufflings occur in all sectors. And it was something like, so I just started revisiting like the writing that I was doing before about like the way that philanthropy and state funding works in the arts and like how these institutions will take from each group and like how that affects the messaging of the content of the art that we're taking in and like how that reflects our culture back to us. Mm-hmm. And like, it's just so bizarre to me, like, that the artists that I saw funded by the, by, like, you know, the Ford Foundation or whatever, their majority of it is like, oh, well, you know, we're taking care of social issues by making, you know, a cool place where homeless people can learn how to sing. And it's like, all right, I guess in a roundabout way, you're doing something to, like, give therapy to the community and you're doing something to make people feel like they have value and, like, when people participate in an ensemble, they, like, have some sense of unity. But at the same time, it's like, oh, phew, well, don't have to worry about the homeless anymore, because now they, like, went to a church and learned how to sing. And, like, we should just give these artists money so they can keep, like, running the chorus. And, like, it's, why don't you just take that money and, like, put it towards housing and then all of a sudden these people aren't homeless. Like, and then they can just figure out if they feel like singing or not.
It's the Marxist critique of charity in general, right?
Yeah, totally. Yeah. It's just like, all right, well, we're employing people in ways, like, so we're taking artists now and we're turning them into social workers.
Right. And not just artists, but the whole, like, nonprofit industrial complex in general, which is I take issue with nonprofit being in the definition of museums.
Oh, totally. yeah.
Because it's like, it for me, it's like, all, the goal is that all of this shit is just owned by the public.
Right.
And not like the, yeah, not funneled into these, yeah, like you're saying, these nonprofits. Because, like, it reminds me too, like, my brother works for a similar organization that does homeless outreach through soccer.
Yeah, it's just bizarro. It's just like, as we see more and more public infrastructure start to fail us, it, you know, the like, responsibility falls to people who have some sort of, I don't know, like, some charisma to be leaders in whatever capacity they can be. And it's always, like, this weird, like, dedicated sort of individual who's like, I have a vision. Look, I'm gonna build a community. Like, this is gonna be fine because as long as everyone is here doing the theater.
But it's not fine because they burn out.
Yeah, it's not
they
fine.
Just, yeah.
It's, you can't live on a show-to-show basis.
Yeah.
And then expect that to be, like, some kind of a long-standing, substantial way to form society. And then, like, the flip side of it is we can't have these institutions that then just become, like, well, I mean, we can. I mean, this is what
we
happened.
Do, and we are, do, baby. We are.
But, and yes. it's like the same argument as, like, the Bjork show at MoMA 53rd Street, where everyone paid the fucking ticket prices to go see YouTube videos. They sat on beanbag chairs and they watched YouTube videos of Bjork, but in a dark room together. And everyone was like, oh my God, this can't be art. Like, no.
Yay,
stop it with
Bjork.
The celebrity culture.
Yo, I love Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, baby. That's my favorite art museum.
Yeah, right? The clothes are there. And then, oh my gosh, the David Bowie clothes, though, too.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let's go look at the clothes. They wore them. It's real. I mean, fair.
Yeah, honestly, that's the most popular shit at the Met is the fashion shows. And it,
oh, yeah, sold out.
And it makes sense. And clothes do have historic importance, of course, and shit like that.
Well, the Met, it makes sense, too, because it's just like, oh, here's artifacts across, like, time and space. And, of course, we have, like, wings upon wings of
Like,
all possibilities are open. And then, you know, I just think it's like different if you go to the Brooklyn Museum and they're like, okay, here's our space. We can have a painting show. And then we just break down the same space. And then we have a fashion show. And then break down the whole space. And it's just like, there's no... And it's fine. It's fine as a model. I'm not worried about it.
Yeah.
I'm not like, wow, purity now. But it's like, it is harder to have all of these different mediums contend with each other and to, like, broaden the scope of what should be seen or what should be showed. And, like,
yeah,
you know, there's some places that could just be, like, quiet, you know. I don't know, what if we just had quiet public spaces? Sometimes some of them
yeah, it's a debate. And fucking, like, it, I feel like if there just were any sort of, like, if there actually was, like, public ownership of any of the museums, I think it would be a different situation. But, like, right now we're, like, just all debating kind of into the void because it's, like, I don't know. We're just kind of stuck at, like,
well, it's
what we have right now.
It's the issue with having no power.
Yeah.
We have no power. Or do we? Or do we?
Or do we have some sort of secret power called influence? And the Instagram influencers have all the power, and they're the ones controlling how the museums set up their shows.
It's true.
I don't know.
Yo, I just want to be where the people are. I just want to see, them dancing, walking around.
I want to experience the same thing as everyone else at the same time.
Yeah, honestly, how else are we going to have a monoculture?
That's the thing, and that's the argument.
Yeah, and that's part of the fear, right? Yeah. If you have a major institution and you can't get a hold of what everybody is into at the same time, then you lose the ability to make money.
Right.
I was thinking about this in the movie theater.
Okay.
I went to see Good Boys last night.
You went to see the...
I went to see it.
Yeah.
I went to see The Good Boys. Let me tell you, they're good boys.
Oh, wow.
They try the best they can.
Oh, my God. Sorry, I can only think about the fucking Ghislaine Maxwell fucking In-N-Out Burger pick where they photoshopped in the Good Boys poster make it seem... the fuck is going on?
Yeah. I hate it. Nothing makes any sense. Oh, I did see a really good meme, though. It was like the photo, the Stalin photo where the dude is erased. But is like Stalin is Bill Clinton, and then the dude is Jeffrey Epstein, and it's like a side by side, and the Epstein guy is gone.
Oh my God!
Yeah. Oh, it's here it is.
Oh no!
Yeah. That's it. This is the meme that, like, totally encapsulates our current media landscape.
I'm just like, yeah, I'm all sorts of, my brain's too fried for any of this shit, man.
I'm getting a second wind, actually, because it was like in the winter that my brain just completely imploded. I didn't know how to deal with the trauma, and now I'm just like, do 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 butts, yeah, do do butts everywhere.
It's because you're in love.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, it's partially love. It's partially that my brain blew a gasket, and now I just take information in, but it's very cold.
Well, that's good. I mean, it you kind of you have to detach at a certain point, or else you will just not be able to function.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I mean, who knows when this new barrier will break? But like, at this point,
it's an ebb and flow for sure.
Yeah, I'm just more in like the rational mindset right now, where it's like, all right, you know, I'm seeing the writing on the wall. Seeing that we are facing like massively like accelerating global collapse, and this is true, and I positioned myself in an industry that people feel is like the first to go when things get serious. Everyone is like, oh my God, how much can I really care about an art worker? There are really big issues going on. And I'm like, well, I care about an art worker. I care about an institution because, like, I am a person and I care about myself and I care about where I am, care about my communities. And that's what I can focus on.
It's also like, what type of jobs fucking are there yet left in, like, the United States cities?
Oh, absolutely.
So it's like a quarter of jobs, right, are, like, security-related. Right.
Oh, Walmart is also... Walmart. Yes, the Walmart map that came out was just, like, just giant swaths of our country, millions of people.
And guess what? The fucking states that weren't Walmart were, like, the state institutions.
Mm-hmm. Who yeah, it's knew? All the state universities, wow. And then what hospitals.
Yeah, hospitals, yeah.
Yeah.
The big ones. Yeah.
So it's just like, it's insane then that people are even going to universities just so that they could work at Walmarts, you know? What is the point of anything?
Yeah, if we need to, if if now that we have all these Walmarts and they all need workers in them, why? What are we?
Yeah, doing? Why do we even go what to school doing? Anymore?
But we should all just work at the worry no more.
And, yes.
And just live in our barracks.
Yes. Carefree.
Worry free. That's what.
Yeah.
It was called.
Yeah. We're just entering into sorry to bother you territory. Yeah. We're gonna live in bunk beds. We're gonna drink the Kool-Aid, folks.
Or we can organize all the Walmart workers and turn them into libraries. And what if all the Walmarts were tool libraries and just all the things were free or whatever?
That'd be dope. Right? Yeah. And that would make a lot of sense, because if you make a bunch of free tools and you put them in a tool library, at the end of the day, if people need to keep them, that's fine. There's no resale value.
Yeah.
You're not going to have, first edition collectible tools. You're just going to be like, oh, damn, dude, is that drill, broken? Well, bring it back to the library, then, you dingus. We'll fix it for you.
Yeah. Yeah, we don't need to keep remaking the drill every year.
Yeah, and we can still re-employ everybody. Oh, I rewatched Roger and Me.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Recently.
I haven't seen it in a long time.
But yeah, you know, it was really good to check back in on the narrative that was being constructed there, because it was a lot of mm-hmm. oh, well, you know, we blatantly told people that it didn't matter that GM just didn't want to keep these workers on the payroll.
Yeah.
They just went, you know what? Yeah. We're a business and we're for profits. And that's what we consider and that's what we care about. That's what we're chasing. And, y'all go fuck yourself.
And, and then they took over, because then, the workers did kind of have the power. They elected a socialist mayor, if I'm remembering correctly. And then Flint or Detroit had, through the auto unions, had elected a socialist mayor, but then GM, basically installed a company town and, ousted him, and then had their own, corporate shill mayor.
Mm-hmm.
And mm-hmm. then cut to our lifetime, where we're bailing out GM for, billions of dollars.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, GM is the new Enron.
Dude, they're all Enron. Do you see the thing about Disney?
Oh, God, yeah. Dude, I can't.
I wonder if the heiress, the heiress of Disney or whatever, she's actually, kind of against the company.
Which is, it's such bizarre. It's such a Mackenzie Bezos way to go about things, where it's I'm incredibly wealthy and I really, benefit completely every minute of my fucking well-established life. it's so hard to be a Disney and I think they're bad.
I want the Disney lady to know that she could come live at my house and, She'll be fine, and I'll take care of her, and then we could figure out what to do with all her money.
Yeah.
Together.
See, that's the whole thing. They're like, oh, no, those other rich people are so bad. No, I'm a philanthropist.
I'm the good one. But I'm wondering if she's the one who leaked this, because apparently it was a leak, shareholder information or something.
Yeah, I would be surprised, because really anytime I hear one of those public dismissals of your family's wealth or whatever, it's just
no, she sucks. She sucks for sure. Cool. it's crazy that we got the information that Disney loses hundreds of dollars per customer or something.
Most businesses do.
It's true. Uber and Netflix and all of these companies they're all operating on a loss.
And then it's just the people who are in a position to sell whatever company they're mm-hmm. working with that profit.
Right.
They're like, it's like the venture capital startup culture thing where you just go, oh, hey, like, yeah, sure, man. Like, let's, you know, you want to buy this media outlet? You want to buy this app? Go for it. I don't care what happens. And it's the Roger and me thing where they're like, right. Workers, when do we give a fuck about that? We clearly don't. We don't have to. It's not in our makeup. And then they just go from place to place, just like ignoring whatever is outside of the golf course.
Right.
Like, and then it was just, you know, it's like I forget about the scale of things until I watch that kind of like firsthand documentation of people just like milling around. Like in Roger and Me, they had this one scene where it was like after everyone was like in the middle of suffering over so many job losses that then like all of these kind of like gentry got together and had a fucking Great Gatsby party. And they hired people who were like fucking broke and homeless and shit, and they just had them stand around in the party as human sculptures.
Great.
And that's
just depraved.
Like, you've got a job now. So fucking just gotta stand around.
Oh my god, I don't know. The shit. Yeah, I'm on a bummer track. I'm kind of on a like.
Oh, it's all right.
I'm ready to just obliterate all of them.
Yeah. Oh well, you know what? What else is cool in terms of the media sphere? Okay, so the previews before Good Boys was the thing I wanted to tell you about.
Oh, okay.
Just I go there, I ate an edible, I'm high as shit. I don't really remember all the details, except for the plot lines of these movies that are coming out. So it's like you sit down in the chair and then they're like, check it out. It's a movie about a black couple and you know, they get in trouble with the cops. And the cop pulls them over or something, you know, just, oh, it's routine check. And then the cop is like, hey, actually, I'm violent. Hey,
this is all in the trailer?
Yeah, this is the trailer. The cop is like, I'm a bad cop, actually. And then the couple is like, but we're just people driving around in a car. We're just people. Ugh. And then the cop gets shot. Bam, bam. And the cop dies. And then they're like, oh, no, cool. Now we've got to go on the run. And then they go on the run and they're going from place to place and they see all these seedy characters. And it's like, you know, oh, damn, like that person's a drug dealer. That person's a pimp. But also they're just people, too. You know what I'm saying? Everybody's just like
what is
people.
This movie?
It's the return of like blaxploitation.
Who made it? Like, what is like?
It's like one of those really like cleanly produced, like all the lighting is legit and everything is just like it's like it looks totally now and it's like this is your life, this is it, this is what's happening to you, so like have your life packaged up, you're having trouble with the cops, so here's a movie about it, and you're like, here's you and your partner and you're in love and it's beautiful, you go on the run, you're like Bonnie and Clyde. And I'm just Mr. Hollywood here, so please, can I get, like, $20 so you can watch it in 3D?
You think it's just, like, a cash grab on based on people's, like, real lived fears and experiences?
Yeah, totally. I think it's, like, it's, you know, because it's, like, there's people sitting around, and they're, like, like, how can we sell shit to people, you know? How can we sell shit to the people?
Yeah.
And they're like, yeah, the people don't want to see paintings. The people want to dance. The people want to see stuff about police brutality and, like, overcoming the odds.
Oh, boy.
Like, the... And then the next one was a movie about, like, a disaffected lady who, like, she works as a Christmas elf. Okay. Emma Watson works as a Christmas elf, and she's like pissed off that she has a nonsense life. And then she meets a guy who does work and is like a volunteer for social justice. And he's like, hey, I'm helping the homeless, all right? Like, it's very fulfilling to like sacrifice your time for others. And she's like, yeah, well, I'm kind of bitter, but maybe love will transform me into helping people for no money. And that was the next movie. And then I watched Good Boys.
I don't know. This all seems like a nightmare.
It's a fucking nightmare, man. I can't even go to a goddamn movie without the state interfering.
I watched the Blackjack movie and I loved it.
Oh, hell yeah.
It's so fucking good. If you want, like, a good movie, watch the Blackjack movie, because it's anti-capitalist as fuck, and it's, like, great.
What's up?
So Blackjack is a doctor who doesn't have a real doctor's license, but like people all over the world seek him out.
Oh shit!
Because he's like a world-renowned surgeon.
He's like House, but
yeah, he's like the House way before House. Like he's Osamu Tezuka did like Astro Boy. It's like probably his second most famous character is Dr. Blackjack. And in the movie, there's like this medical company that's developed a superhuman serum. So like the beginning of the movie, there's all of these like Olympic athletes getting crazy world records and shit, and like, and then there's like a pianist who's like going really hard, and like so it's like basically like a gene that like mutates people's endorphins into like insane levels, but then it starts to of course like kill people and become like a virus and all this shit. And then like the like lady who is in charge of the research in the company and the drug and stuff tricks Blackjack into first helping her find a cure, and then like tricks him into taking the drug himself. And then like I don't know, it's really fucking cool because Blackjack's very like self-righteous, being like, you experimented on people and let them die for this, and it's like for eugenics basically.
It's like Venom.
Yeah, it's so fucking sick. It's like, it's such a good fucking movie. And then like it turns out that like there's this like indigenous nomadic tribe where like it was the fungus mutation thing that they made the drug out of was like found in the sands in this like forgotten land. And like,
whoa.
But it turns out that the nomadic people there had been using the fungus for centuries, of course.
Oh,
and
dang.
Like had their own medicine version.
Oh man, they were like doing the ayahuasca for real. Yeah. Before all of the white people came in.
Yeah, it's like, I don't know, it's so sick. It's like everything I wanted to see in like a movie.
Hell yeah.
It's like this like self-righteous, like highly skilled surgeon being like, this company is corrupt and fucked up, and like, oh. I'm going to save people's lives because it's the right thing to do, not develop this drug for money or whatever.
I wish that more people working in the medical community would stand up for people like that, actually.
Yeah.
That was something that I was thinking, like, in general, is, like, how come there's not, like, a huge walkout, like, an intense moment where all of these, like, you know, like, what if a bunch of brain surgeons got up and they were like, you know what? We think that our labor should be available for people.
They have the fucking nurses and doctors so tied up to the patients that if they were to strike, it would be
catastrophic.
Yeah, detrimental to the patients. So, yeah. But they could figure out a way to do it really careful. Like, find a way to, like, be like, half of us are going to walk out and half of us are going to stay or something.
I don't know. I think it's also, it's kind of like when you threaten to walk out,
right.
And everybody understands the implications of that. It's like,
right.
Also puts a lot of pressure on like people to make sure that that doesn't happen, because at that point it's like, it sucks. Cause
yeah.
in this instance, it's like, oh, well, if the doctors go on strike, then the patients don't get help. And then it's like, well, if the patients don't get help, it's like they're already not getting help.
Right. Right.
You know what I mean? It's
like they're already understaffed, underfunded, patients are already dying as a result of that.
Yeah.
Like, it's already happening.
Yeah. So it's just like, and it's also, it's like, there's so many people who are in the medical profession that are like higher up, and they're not like, you know, constantly in triage or something. They're right. like, hi, I'm on the board of Yale, and I'm a surgeon, and I oversee a staff of people, and I walk around with a clipboard.
Those are the people who could, like, yeah, you're right, like blackjack, like have a fucking stance, like I'm a professional,
yeah.
and I'm fucking mad as hell.
And they took the Hippocratic Oath, so yeah. why are they letting so many people
die?
Right.
Yeah. Dude, it's true. Everyone should blackjack it up, baby. That's,
yeah, right.
Live in an island and do your own thing.
Yeah. That's so funny. Come on, the island of Canada.
Because there's also, yeah, there's like, oh, there's like a thing with art dealers in the movie, too.
Oh, sick.
Because like one of the super mutants was an artist, and then like, I think. I forget it. She or he like passes away, and like then Blackjack has her last painting or something, and that's like a whole thing where they're like, "I'll give you $1 billion for this painting."
Yes, yes. Oh my God! Inflate the market. They just right. died.
Yeah, exactly. It was like it was one of those moments. Mm-hmm. Highly recommend everybody watch that fucking Blackjack movie. It's so good.
Hell yeah.
I would love to watch more movies like that. Where are they?
They're coming.
I mean, you know? It's great. I mean, we did get Sorry to Bother You, which was like, yeah. that was like such a fucking insane movie to have gotten made. And I'm so hyped on it.
It was, yeah. It was a raucous good time. Everybody's still not sure if it's a documentary or not.
It is.
Yeah. Yeah. That's, look, there's only two genders. The people who think that's a documentary and the people who don't.
No, there's only one gender. The people who have accepted that Sorry to Bother You is a documentary and the people who haven't.
Oh, wait. And they're the same
they're
gender.
The same.
Oh, yeah. There's actually zero genders, but we found a new binary.
Sorry, I'm off the rails.
Oh my God! Stick to the program.
Well, we should wrap up. We're going long. But
we put something down. Hey, folks. We're gonna have another guest lined up for Tuesday. I think if we played our cards right, and you're gonna get a whole bunch of hard cracking, ball fondling action coming to ya.
Yeah, we'll be less all over the place.
Just fucking high.
Yeah, whatever. Like, just take the slop and eat it. No.
Yeah. Oh my God. We're falling apart because we're just trying so hard not to.
That's the thing. And it's, you know, I'm happy to have this podcast to help me get back on the rails, honestly. And, like, I really appreciate everybody who supports us on Patreon and everyone who listens to all the episodes and shit. Especially people who listen to the end, because people don't. People drop off.
People drop
I love
off.
You most of all for staying through this yeah. whole episode, whoever you are.
It's just us and you, listener.
If and you've listened to this far into the episode, you should DM us and join the Discord.
Or, also... Do whatever you want.
I mean, you don't have to, but I'm just saying, like, I appreciate you and I want to get to know you more in our Discord.
Yeah. And if you want to get to know me, well, you can't.
She pops in there. She pops in there every once in a while.
Yeah.
Every blue moon or so.
Yeah. If you want to know me, man, you got to find me on the road.
Well, big loves to everybody.
Let's
try to have fun in this...
Let's have
weird
fun.
World.
Doo-doo butts.
Doo-doo butts. Oh, wait, it does actually kind of work. Let's yeah. have fun. Yeah. Doo-doo butts.
Yeah.
Doo-doo butts. Okay.
See?
Yeah.
Doo-doo butts is good.
Kind of works.
Yeah, it's super good.
Fine.
Butts, butts. Doo-doo butts. Doo-doo butts. Doo-doo butts. Oh. I care if you have an aeroplane that can fly the world and we can have a fantasy. It doesn't matter if you drive a limousine. It really doesn't matter if you
have fun. Let's have fun. Let's have fun. Let's have fun. Lots of fun. Let's have fun. Let's have fun. Let's have fun. Lots of fun.